Robert Ferguson. I want to welcome you to a live broadcast right here from Diet Free Life. Today's date is October 15th, 2013, and it's another Fat Loss Tuesday. Yes, and I want to welcome you to what I believe is going to be a good show. Today we're going to be talking about two unique, specific things that I believe will provide you with the know-how, okay, to get activated, to remain engaged, to lose weight, keep the weight off, feel great, boost your energy, and really just optimize your metabolism. And that is talking about the relationship between weight loss and chocolate. Now, if you have questions and you want to come on live and you want to chat, you can call in. All you have to do is dial 917-889-8805. Now, when you call in, you'll go on hold, and if the opportunity permits, I will bring you on. If it doesn't, I apologize in advance, but trust me, I will be doing everything I can to be there to help you get exactly what you're looking for. And I believe that a lot of that is getting clarity, right? Because once you have clarity, then you have more confidence that then leads you to a continuance of success in what you're doing. And it's through your own experiential that the success that you're experiencing continues to fuel you to do what you're doing, because it's working. And if it's working, then that's a great thing. Now, I bring that up because oftentimes I'll meet people and they'll say that they lost weight or they're doing another weight loss program. And regardless of what the weight loss program is, I do know that there's a lot of ways to losing weight. But then as we continue into the conversation, I'll ask them questions. And what I discover is that, for instance, they only eat carbs up until 2 o'clock. And then after 2 o'clock, they don't eat carbs anymore. Or they do two, like, protein shakes a day, and then they have one meal. Or they do prepackaged foods, and then maybe one of their meals they actually go out to eat, or they eat something fresh that they made. Or they are just really following this tight, rigid program where they're counting the calories. Again, there is a lot of ways to lose weight. But as I share with them that they could be enjoying certain foods that as part of their program are off limits, and they could still get the same results, if not better, when we have that conversation, their eyes open up. And what I mean by that is, let's say that you're the kind of person who believes that you're able to lose weight if you eat carbs only up until 2 p.m. And after that, you don't eat carbs. It's primarily protein and fats. And you're able to lose weight. But what if you found out that you could be eating carbs for dinner as well as in the evening, and you could get the exact same results, sometimes better, and you never had to restrict yourself like that? Would that get your attention? What if I told you that many of the foods that your doctor, for instance, said that you're not supposed to eat because you're, you know, close to being insulin resistant, or you're a type 2 diabetic, or they believe that that's a big part of why your energy levels aren't where you would like them to be? But what if, key words here, what if you could be enjoying life a little differently, but yet get the same, if not better, results when it comes to weight loss? See, in my experience of helping thousands of people, literally thousands of people, lose weight and not experience the conventional diets of deprivation and frustration and going through all of those negatives, but they're able to lose weight. These people are able to lose weight eating, you know, fresh organic food, eating fast food, sometimes processed in the way that they can pick it up in the shelf of a mini mart, a gas station, their local grocery store, but yet they can lose weight and feel empowered. And the best part, in my opinion, is that they never feel guilt, because there's no reason to feel guilt. You know, I'll go on Facebook and I'll follow, like, some tweets, you know, in the Twitter world, and I'll see people talking about how, you know, they're on a weight loss program, and their entire language is about giving up foods, and I can't eat that, I have to eat this. Ugh. And then when they eat outside of that doctrine, they feel guilty. And so many of these other programs will refer to something like that as a cheat day, or as a, consume all you want, or a free day. Well, every day for me is a free day. If I want chocolate, I know how to eat it in a way where it doesn't cause me to gain weight. And when I want to lose weight, I know how to eat it in a way where I can drop those pounds. I want pasta. I want pizza. I mean, today at lunch I had pizza. Tonight I'm going to have a glass of wine. I love chocolate, so I'll probably have some chocolate. But I know how to eat it in a way where you can get amazing results. And you want to know something? The first time I realized the value of this is when I was working with a professional boxer. And as I was working with this professional boxer, and we were traveling all around the country, you know, doing media tours, et cetera, we would be at a restaurant, at a mall, or we'd be at a restaurant at an airport, and this boxer would say, hey, so what can I eat here? And then I would build a fat-burning meal for him, like on the spot, and it was eating foods that in his past experience he was not able to eat and still lose the weight and feel great and have energy and all the positives that go with that. Well, one day he said, you know, Robert, one, I wish I could just keep you with me all the time, because whenever I'm with you, I can eat what there's always something for me to eat that's great, and I don't feel deprived, and I'm satisfied, and I feel like I'm eating everything that I want to eat. But when I'm not with you, I feel like I'm like everybody else. And the differentiator here is that through his experiential, this boxer waited on me to kind of guide him on what to eat, when to eat, et cetera, instead of, you know, allowing me to be his coach, but at the same time acquiring the knowledge and information so that he would own this and it could be part of who he was and he could use this for the rest of his life. Well, this show is all about that. So all those people and those experts out there that do weight loss, all of them that, you know, are saying, you know, you can't drink a regular soda, you can't eat fast food, you can't do this, you can't do that, you have to do this, you have to do that. Well, tell those people to give me a call, because we have thousands of people who are doing exactly what they say you can't do, and they're getting amazing results. So then the question they should be asking is, well, how is that possible? And I would go, well, how is it not? And then they would say, well, what's the science behind it? And I'll say, well, number one, let me just be upfront with you. There's a lot of science behind this, a lot. And I'm going to share that with you today, right? But then number two is that when you have thousands of people who are eating the way we talk about here at the Diet for Your Life, and their blood pressure is better, their diabetes is better. Some of them have gone from being diagnosed as type 2 diabetes and now being diagnosed where they're totally free of type 2 diabetes. Many of these people had high cholesterol and now they don't. Many of these people lacked energy and now they don't. And when you hear that again and again and again, testimony after testimonial, I don't need a 20-year study to prove anything because the people are proving it. And it's not like it's 12 people, but it's thousands of people. So keep that in mind. And then number two, there is nothing that I would recommend that I couldn't substantiate, okay? Everything that we recommend, if I say, you know, drink enough water to where your urine is closer to clear compared to dark yellow, well, I've never met a physician or a scientist or someone in my field who would disagree with that. I've met many of them that would say, well, drink half your body weight in ounces, and that would be an adequate amount of water. And I'm like, you know, I like customizing things. Everybody responds differently. Some people can drink less water than other people, but yet they can both have clean, clear, metabolic-friendly, water running through their body. Okay, everybody's different. So because everyone's different, let's treat people as though they're unique And they're different because they are. Okay? Now, in today's show, there's two things we're going to talk about. The big hook is going to be chocolate and weight loss. So we're going to go there. I want to go there. But I also want to bring up something that I posted in our diet, or in our MyDietFreeLife.com community, as well as on Facebook. And I have posted today a graphic that shows how the body stores body fat. And there's a lot of hormones that we have in our body, but the one that I wanted to put more emphasis on is the hormone called insulin. And let me say that insulin, though it's depicted in our talk today as a negative, it's a very positive hormone. I mean, insulin is responsible for getting, blood sugar out of our blood. And if we didn't have insulin, which some people don't, they have to get it injected. We have people who are type 1 diabetic, and they don't even produce insulin. Well, if you don't have insulin, then you can corrode your arteries, and it can lead to a major shutdown inside your body, a major metabolic organ dysfunction. And we don't want that because that leads to death and many medical hardships. So insulin has many positives to it. And when you look at how a person can increase their metabolism by building lean muscle tissue, which is made up primarily of amino acids, which is what we call protein, what do you think is getting that protein, those amino acids in the cells that build up or help make up this lean muscle tissue? Insulin. So insulin's job is to get rid of the sugar that's stored in the blood, and if it doesn't, that's a negative. And it's the same for protein. Its job is to get protein from floating in the blood and placing it somewhere. And, our skin is made up of protein, our, tissue. I mean, and the list goes on and on and on. So insulin is a very positive. But when it comes to weight gain, oftentimes companies will, especially in the world of weight loss, they'll talk about the glycemic this and the glycemic that, and they'll talk about blood sugar, which is crucial. I mean, it's crucial. Now, the carbohydrates that you eat become blood sugar, right, become sugar in your blood. And the greater the amount of carbs that become sugar in your blood, the greater secretion of this hormone called insulin. And insulin's job is to be secreted and to take that sugar that's in your blood and to put it somewhere. It goes to the liver, the muscles, and when those are at capacity, it takes that sugar and it goes through this process where you end up gaining body fat. And that's why you'll hear people say sugar can become fat. So insulin opens up the fat cell's door and allows the sugar to come inside and the fat cell grows and we have more fat. And there's a whole bonding that takes place in that fat cell that makes it where we gain body fat, right, adipose tissue. Now, in this graph that I put out there, I focus on insulin and not so much on blood sugar. Right, because insulin is really the thing we want to look at. And insulin is primarily secreted because of carbs, but it can be secreted by other foods to include significantly some proteins. Well, when it's protein, we have an increase of protein synthesis because of insulin, and all that means is that protein gets used in a very positive way. Again, adding to your lean muscle tissue, helping you restore, repair your lean muscle tissue so that you can maximize your body's ability to burn calories. But when it's carbs, it's a totally different thing. So when you eat the way we recommend, what happens is you'll get a spike in insulin secretion, this hormone, but it comes back down to what I call normal to low levels. And when you're low to normal levels with your insulin throughout the day, then you're more likely to not just burn fat, but to release stored body fat. And there's other hormones that are involved, but this is key here. So keeping your insulin levels from normal down to what works for your body, because everyone secretes a different amount of insulin when they eat, and everyone requires a different amount of insulin to do its job. So what's normal for you when it's below normal, right, to low, you're in major fat-burning mode, meaning you're maximizing fat burn and you're optimizing fat release, okay? Very important. Now, when you're not eating the way we recommend, with the diet-free life system, then you're more likely to have elevated to very high levels of insulin, which can be chronic. See, when insulin levels are high, okay, and we all have that peak, but if you're eating in a way based on your body where the insulin levels aren't coming back to normal or actually flattening even lower than that, when they're elevated, like throughout the day, your body remains in fat storage mode all day long. And this is not a positive. This is a negative. So you want to eat in a way based on your unique body to where your insulin level, this hormone, is not constantly and chronically elevated. Now, all of that leads us to this thing that I call the carb IQ. There's two ways that I look at the carb IQ. I believe that each one of us have a unique carb IQ as far as a profile. And then, based on the work that we've done here at Diet for Life, there's a carb IQ index number. So we all have our profile, and we all have our number. Once you know what this number is, then it provides you with a game plan on how to eat to get the results that you want. Now, this is all fascinating and really breakthrough information that can prove very helpful. And these are things that we've added to the Diet for Life system and we're making available in our community as well as to people who have the Diet for Life system. And that is knowing what or figuring out what your carb IQ profile is. What is that number? Because that number sets you up with the exact game plan on how you must eat and making fat-burning meals that are specific or uniquely designed for how your body responds to carbs. Now, before I go into the details of that, let me explain that each one of us responds to carbs differently. Some people can eat a lot of carbs and not put on a pound. Other people, it's like they eat a few carbs and they just start gaining weight. You know what kind of person you are. And if you have weight to lose, it's to your benefit to know what your carb threshold is. That is the amount of carbs that you can eat without gaining weight. Now, when you look at carbs, we're talking about carb calories. We're looking at also protein calories, and we're looking at fat calories. What happens is that in our Diet for Your Life system, we set you up with the right number of carbs to get started. So you create a baseline, and you also have the right amount of protein calories and fat calories, whereas combined, the protein, fat, and carbs, right, these calories combined will give you an adequate amount of a variety of calories so that you don't damage your metabolism. And I say that because when you don't get an adequate amount of calories, you can literally slow your metabolism. You can go into what we call semi-starvation, and your metabolism slows, and that's not a good thing. So the goal is you don't want to go there. We want to make sure you're getting an adequate amount of calories. For women, we would never recommend you eat less than 1,200 calories in the course of a day, okay, as a baseline. For men, never go less than 1,500 calories in a day, never, okay, no matter what. So knowing that and staying true to that, what happens is each and every week we increase your carbohydrate calories. And to make an adjustment so you don't have too many calories, we make adjustments by decreasing either your protein and or your fat calories. And all of this is real simple. And the whole goal is to figure out what your carb threshold is. So as Sandy, someone who's very active with going through the whole carb stepping process, right, using this technique, she is, I think, going into her third week or finished her second week. First week, her carbs are a little low, and at the end of the week, she loses weight. Once she loses weight, that's your sign that it's time to add more carb calories to your daily meals, okay? So she does that. At the end of the week, she loses weight again. So now what happens? It's time for an adjustment. She increases her carb calories. And in doing that, she makes the other adjustments, so her calories are staying right around the same. And she will continue to do that until she gets to a place where she no longer loses weight. Now, the challenge with a lot of people, when they're missing the psychology component here, is that they start getting afraid to add carbs because they like the results they're getting. And they forget that the reason they're doing the carb stepping is to get to a place where they no longer lose weight. And at that point, they make a slight adjustment by bringing their carbs down just a little bit, and they're able to continue losing weight. Make sense? So through that process, once you know your threshold, now you own it. And this is where it gets really fun. Once you know your threshold, then I put together a formulation that takes your threshold and what you did in carb stepping, and it looks at a scale of 0 to 100, and it gives you your carb IQ index number. And if you are, you know, based on this number that you get through this formula, and the only way you can know what your carb IQ index is number one, carb stepping, or knowing what your fasting glucose is. If you know what your fasting blood glucose is, you don't even have to carb step. You can bypass that because you know what that number is. And then you put it into our basic formula, and in, I mean, probably not even a minute, 60 seconds later, you now have your number based on your body. So if a person has 40 or less, so 0 to 40, then they fall into a certain category. And in that category, I then show you exactly how to eat your meals based on your body and based on the fact that you want to expedite your ability to lose weight. And not just lose weight, because when you drop body fat, what happens as the body fat drops, your carb IQ increases. See, if you ever meet a person who loses a significant amount of weight, they may not know their carb IQ, their carb threshold. They don't know any of this. But fortunately, it worked out to where they lost weight. Even when they're smaller and they don't know all that I'm sharing with you, right? They kind of winged it. They guessed their way there, and it just kind of worked out. That person can eat more of what probably caused them to gain weight without gaining weight because your body chemistry changes. It's like when you look at the medical industry will tell you that if a person is overweight, let's say you're 300 pounds, and you lose 10% of your total body weight, you will see an improvement in everything from your hypertension to your cholesterol, you know, many of your, you know, metabolic processes all upgrade. They all improve just by dropping 10%. So we know that there is a chemical change in the body when you drop 10% of your total body weight. So knowing what your carb IQ index number is can make it really easy. So I'm going to give you an example of this. And those of you who are listening to this and you're like, okay, well, you know, I don't have the carb IQ part. Well, don't worry. We're going to get all this to you. If you have the Diet for Your Life system, you know, one thing about me is very important to understand this is that, you know, I'm in it to win it. And what that means is that I'm in it for you to win it. And if I discover something next week, next year, that would be helpful to you, I want to make sure that I get that information to you. I am not one of those people that if you sell something and, you know, you just look at it as sold, even though you discover new things. If I discover something new tomorrow that's better than what I recommended yesterday, I want everybody to know about that who bought whatever that product was. So it's not just selling a product. It's selling a lifestyle. It's selling like a way of living, and it's really doing everything that I'm supposed to do based on my relationship with God for me. That's kind of the basis of how all this works for me. So with the Carb IQ, what we call meal combining guidelines, what I provide is an example of four ways of eating. So if you have someone, for instance, who has a very high carb IQ, they can eat a fast carb at every one of their meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and not gain an ounce if they eat it the way I recommend. They combine it the right way with the protein, slow carbs, etc., and life is great. Now, they don't have to eat a fast carb, but if they want to have a fast carb, they can, knowing that their body responds to carbs in a way where they're less likely to gain weight. Now, if they go outside of the methodology and they just overdo it with the carbs, then they're going to flood their system and they're going to gain weight. Now, that's the first person. So if you have a very high carb IQ, then, hey, go with it. Maximize life is great. Then you have a person who is, right under that. They score, let's say, a 41 to 60, but they exercise. Okay, they're active. They're very active. And I define what I mean by they're very active. Well, I would recommend they have fast carb for breakfast and lunch, and maybe their dinners are slow carbs. And then I give some guidelines on how they would snack, but that would be the recommendations I would provide that person based on optimizing their body's ability to both burn and release fat. Okay, so you want to burn it, and you want to release stored fat. And then I give an example for someone who's not active, because not everybody wants to exercise, but they want to be able to eat in a way where they can drop some pounds. So I give them an example. And then I do the same thing for someone who is 0 to 40 with their carb IQ number. So, again, once you know what that number is, you follow this plan. So let's say that you're under 40 based on everything that we're talking about. That's okay, because guess what? You're going to follow this plan, and you're going to drop some body fat, you're going to feel better, and your carb IQ is going to increase, and now you're eating a different way. So you're eating more carbs as you lose more weight. Man, it's great. And that's just how the bodies work. And I'm going to end on this note, and this is where it gets real fun, or I don't know, at least it gets somewhat interesting, and that is how we get to this place where people are confused. Okay, I'm going to give you an example. Let's say you take someone who has lost a lot of weight, and now they're a personal trainer, and they're pretty fit. They work out, they eat real lean, they eat healthy, and they're always talking about what they eat or whatever, and they feel great. So they're down in weight. Maybe they lost 50 pounds, 100 pounds. It doesn't matter, but they are, like, lean and feeling like they can take on the world. And then you go to them. Let's say a woman goes to them, and she's 325 pounds or 230 pounds. And she goes to the trainer, and the trainer's like, you know, you got to change the way you're eating. Well, sometimes the trainer's eating all the stuff that they're telling the person not to eat. And we look at that trainer and go, see, they have a gift. They have a very fast metabolism. Well, that's where their metabolism is now. That doesn't mean that's where it was. And the way they eat, their body is going to respond totally different because it's different compared to someone, you know, who wants to lose the weight. Oftentimes you'll see the person who's heavier eating less than the person that's smaller, and the person who's heavier is having a hard time losing weight. And you would think they would be able to lose weight. Well, the reality is that we're all uniquely different. We all have a unique fingerprint, and we all have a unique metabolism. And our bodies respond to carbs differently, and insulin, the way it works in our body, is different. Not one person is the same. However, the way I created this system, this methodology, is to meet people right where they are and to show them how to make it work. And that crosses all boundaries. If we looked at cultural foods, it could be Mexicans, you know, it could be Italian, you name it, and we can still combine our foods in a way where you're going to get amazing, fantastic results. So there you have it. Now, if you want more information on, you know, Carb IQ, and as we move forward in this whole profile, don't be alarmed. We will be reaching out to you. I will be providing you with some information that will help you, and it's going to help you, like, take it to the next level. And the best place to get these kind of updates would be either in our Facebook group, because we have, like, a little secret hidden society that anyone can be a part of if you want. You have to know someone that's in it so they can invite you and tell you where it is. And then you request, and we bring you in. Or you go to mydietfreelife.com, and at mydietfreelife.com, we are there to help you out as well. Inside that community, we got some exciting things taking place. Trust me. I mean, we're getting ready to, you know, unveil our new website. It works really nicely. It's going to be cool. I'm going to make available to everyone who has a Diet for Your Life system, like, some really cool things that will help them stay engaged, you know, stay, like, inspired and motivated to just live a diet-free life. So if you have any questions about this, feel free to reach out to me at any time. I'm open to questions, suggestions, ideas, tips. I mean, I'm here to be of service. I mean, this is what I do. I wake up thinking about this stuff. I go to bed thinking about it. When I'm on vacation, I'm reading like a book or doing some research on food and how to make this easier. And oftentimes I'm challenging myself to become even better at being able to communicate it in a way where it makes it easier for other people. Okay, so there you go. That's the intro for today. And now we're going to shift our focus, okay, for those who stayed with me. And we're going to talk about chocolates. I'm not going to talk about wine today. Usually I talk about wine and chocolate. But today we're going to talk about chocolate, and we're going to talk about weight loss. Weight loss and chocolate in the same breath. Ooh, isn't that great? Oh, man. Anyway, number one, chocolate, like a lot of things, like avocado, is a fruit. I mean, chocolate's been around forever. If you didn't know that, I mean, chocolate has been around forever. And the science of chocolate is fascinating, especially when you go with dark chocolate. I mean, it has, you know, scientific benefits where it can boost brain power, where it literally, like, speeds up your metabolism. So someone who eats chocolate compared to someone who doesn't is more likely to have a faster-moving metabolism. So chocolate can be your friend. Now, there's a lot of different chocolates out there, and my goal is to share with you how you can enjoy chocolate and, you know, get amazing results. You know, like if you're eating chocolate and you want to drop some pounds, eat your chocolate. Just do it in the way that makes the most sense, okay? So let's talk about chocolate, and let's kind of go backward. Let's go backward with it. So when it comes to a serving size of chocolate, let me say that for a woman and a man, it's going to be totally different. For a woman, you're looking at 1 to 2 ounces of chocolate. When consumed, it's going to put you in that caloric range of 100 to 200 calories. For a man, we're looking at 2 to 3 ounces of chocolate. And there's a lot of great chocolates out there. The lighter chocolates would be like your milk chocolates. And then you have your darker chocolates. But again, the caloric range would be the same. You either look at the ounces and then the calories, or you look at the calories and then the ounces to see how much you're consuming. For me, I always look at the calories just to make sure, and then I work my way back. A second thing that I do when I'm looking for chocolate is I like to choose chocolate that is going to be higher in fat calories than carb calories. See, usually with the Diet for Your Life methodology, we talk about grams. But when it comes to chocolate, I look a little closer at the calories and not just the grams. Most of the time, whenever I'm looking at fat, how I'm going to categorize a food, that's what I want to do. And you'll notice when you do this is that the more refined the chocolate is, or the lighter a chocolate is, you'll notice that the carbs, even in grams, will be higher than that of the fat. Whereas I'm always looking for a chocolate that will be higher in fat than it is carbs. So just some things to look at. But if you forget everything, and you don't want to be a scientist just looking at all the different chocolates, then choose a chocolate based on 1 to 2 ounces as a snack for women, and then 2 to 3 ounces of chocolate for a man. And you look at chocolate not so much as a fat. If you were to eat your chocolate as part of your meal, you would look at chocolate as a fast carb because that's what it would be. At that point, I'm looking at it from a gram standpoint. The majority of the time is going to be highest in carb grams, but it may be higher in fat calories, right? And the reason that is that 1 gram of carb is 4 calories, whereas 1 gram of fat is 9 calories. So if I had 20 grams of carbs and then I had 10 grams of, you know, fat, then I'm actually getting more fat calories than I am carb calories. It'd be like 90 calories of fat with the chocolate versus 80 grams or 80 calories of carbs with the chocolate. Now, all this can be a little confusing, and you don't need to really be concerned with that. The key really is to focus on finding a chocolate that is ideal for you, staying within that caloric range, and enjoying it as that snack. Now, when I look at chocolates, I like to choose a chocolate where the cocoa content is displayed on the chocolate. So I'm looking at 60 to 72% cocoa content. And you'll know that because that's something that they're selling. I've actually enjoyed chocolate that's up to 99% cocoa content. The higher it is with cocoa content, the less of it you will probably want to eat at one time. So when you get bars that are 80, 85, 88% cocoa content, you're probably less likely to eat a huge bar at one time. So for those of you who have a challenge when it comes to, you know, not overindulging in the chocolate, then go with a higher cocoa content. Now, this also is going to mean that you're going to be swaying more toward a dark chocolate than a white chocolate or something that's a little bit more milky. If you don't have a challenge with over-consuming, then go with whatever you want. But I still like to look for like chocolates that have a cocoa content on it. So if you went to Trader Joe's, I actually have seen this at even Big Lots. I mean, it's at stores all over America. I've seen it even in Target, where you'll see bars that are 72% cocoa content. Choose those kind of bars and get in the habit of enjoying those types of bars, and you're good to go. I mean, when Halloween is coming closer, my kids have been raised to enjoy dark chocolate. So when they get milk chocolate, every once in a while they like it, but the majority of the time it's not something that pulls them in. But if it's dark chocolate, because their palate has been groomed, right? It's been nurtured to want dark chocolate. So even if your kid has already experienced milk chocolate and their palate wants that more, you can recondition, right? You can retrain the palate so that they actually have a greater desire for a dark chocolate. Now, when is dark chocolate? It's going to have a whole bunch of other added benefits to it. It's going to be highest in antioxidants. It's going to have more of the mood, enticing, chemical agents in it that give you that good feeling. You're less likely to get tired because of the balance of fat to carbs, so you're not going to have that insulin spike the way you would. So that would be my recommendation. 60, 70% cocoa content. If you're going to go down, I've seen as low as 40, 52%. If you were to just get dark chocolate and there's no cocoa content on it, I believe the government says it has to be around, I think, 30% cocoa content. So if you went and got a Hershey bar and it said dark chocolate, then there's actually, when they put dark chocolate on it, same as milk chocolate or white chocolate, it has to have a certain amount of cocoa content. And that's why white chocolate, whenever you see it, is not considered a chocolate. It falls into a confectionery. It's a candy. So white chocolate is not chocolate. It's something else. Whereas the other chocolates, based on how they're labeled, puts them into a category of their cocoa content. So hopefully that's helpful. So, again, you can eat your chocolate. If you're going with the diaphylite methodology of eating every 2 to 3 hours, combining your foods the way we recommend, you know, putting your proteins, fast carbs, slow carbs, really understanding that, snacking, meals, then you got it. And there's nothing that can stop you from getting to where you want to be. I'll end on this note with regards to chocolate. I had a client, and I'm not exaggerating at all, and I'm being very upfront with you with what happened with this client. this client was consuming a whole bar of chocolate each and every day. And this is one of those big bars. So she had to break it up. I think it was around 430 calories total from what I remember. And so she broke it up to where she had basically two snacks. And then she would add a little bit of the chocolate to either her oatmeal. I believe that's what she did. From what I can recall, she would crumble it up in there, and she looked at it as a fat. And I was like, no problem. And so after losing 100 pounds, we finally had the conversation about it. And she didn't even like chocolate, but she remembered me putting on a seminar called Wine, Chocolate, and Weight Loss. And she was intrigued with it and felt that, okay, I'm going to start eating chocolate, and I'm going to start drinking wine. So she did that, and the first 100 pounds came off. She didn't drink wine before that, and she wasn't a chocolate eater. But she did it because she was in a diet mentality, and she was doing it because she thought that that's how you would get better results. And then she had the personal experience of getting these great results eating chocolate and drinking wine that she attributed a lot of her success to exactly that. So when it came up and I giggled and laughed about it, we had a very funny moment as she showed me how she would plug her nose and drink the wine. We got to a place where she realized she didn't have to eat the chocolate anymore and she didn't have to drink the wine. And she went on to lose over 200 pounds. So it worked for her, and she didn't even like it. But what was working was she was eating it in the proper amounts, the proper portion amount, right? And everything else was also being activated, and she got great results. So now, if you're thinking about doing a wine and chocolate, if you're interested in learning more about this, I'm going to be in Maui, Hawaii, at the end of this month at the Ritz-Carlton over in Kapalua as part of an amazing wellness week. And I'm going to put on my wine, chocolate, and wellness seminar. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have four different wines. I'm going to pair them with four chocolates. And I'm going to talk about the history of chocolate all the way back to the Aztecs, the Mayans, the Olmec, and how chocolate came about. We're going to talk about the wine and its birthplace, you know, with the Egyptians and the Greeks and how wine has been cultivated and the richness of both and what they both have in common and how you can enjoy them both and really maximize personal wellness. And if wellness is a word that you're saying, okay, he's just throwing it out as a word, it's really not just a word. It has an in-depth meaning, and I stay true to that meaning. A gentleman by the name of Wilbert Dunn, Dr. Dunn, Halbert Dunn, actually, came up with this word, or the definition of this word that he coined, and he basically said that wellness is an integrated method of functioning which is oriented toward optimizing the potential of which an individual is capable of functioning. See, wellness is about meeting a person where they are and showing them how to optimize their life, their situation, okay, from where they are in all areas. And that's what we're doing when it comes to, like, wine and chocolate. It's like you can enjoy your pleasures, okay, you can enjoy your pleasures and still get amazing wellness-based results. And that's what this is all about. It's all about maximizing what we have. Okay, so hopefully there's some good information there. I'm going to segue now into something that I want to talk to you guys about, and I believe it'll be helpful, and then we'll be done for today. And now next week, you know, I got this big interview that I've been, like, talking about. I will be announcing it soon. Hopefully it takes place next week or following this show, so make sure that you check in to see if it takes place. And the person that I'm going to interview, I will have their name mentioned in the title of the show. But I wanted to share something with you, and I want to invite you to email me or contact me based on what I'm going to share with you right now, because I would love to hear your thoughts. And the thoughts goes to this, that there is a problem, right, with weight loss. There is a weight loss problem. And I believe that the solution is in asking the right question. And I say that because whenever I'm doing a seminar, I'll have people that will be more focused on how you lose weight. And then I'll say to them that it's not how we lose weight. The real solution is why we gain weight, okay, why we gain it. So if you know how we gain weight, if you know the science of why we gain weight, then it's easier for you to turn the tide and then lose the weight. See, when I created the Diet for Life system, it was about providing answers to both the how and the why of weight loss. And unfortunately, I believe more of us are focused on how we lose weight, and that's why we go from one how to the next how. It's like in direct marketing or direct response or in infomercial sales, it's known that people buy the how. So it's like, show me how that works and I'll buy it. Show me that it's simple, that it's sensible, and you got my attention. But they buy it never knowing why we gain weight. They never, ever, ever get that. Like, why does a person gain weight? What is it that causes us to gain weight? So what is your answer? Many of us are sitting back going, okay, well, we gain weight because we eat too many calories. Or we gain weight because, depending on your age, you may say it's a hormonal thing. We gain weight because of this. We gain weight because of that. See, once you understand the science of why we gain weight, which is really simple, then you can attach food to that and you can understand, you know, how to lose weight. And then to make it easier, you have someone like me that will take you by the hand and show you how to do it. So if you agree with me, I would love for you to, you know, catch me on Twitter. Twitter account is at dietfreelife. Or I want you to go to Facebook, my Facebook for the company. You can reach me at facebook.com/dietfreelife. Or email me directly if you're on Facebook and you're my friend or you're part of our community. I want to hear what you believe the problem is. Like, do you agree with me that it's not how we lose weight? Do you agree with me that it's more about why we gain weight? And if we understood the why, then it'd be easier for us to drop the pounds? See, at the end of the day, the goal is that you're empowered, that you have the knowledge. And once you have the knowledge, then it's just a matter of you applying that knowledge with total clarity, which breeds confidence, that will give you a continuance of success. Because here's the deal. You know that we don't gain weight because we're eating too much protein. And even the government acknowledges that fat's not the problem. That the government actually is recommending that we eat, you know, fats that fall into a certain category. Carbs play a big role. And it's really how we combine those carbs, what we eat with those carbs, how much of those carbs that we eat that sets us up to secrete that hormone insulin that can either put us in fat storing mode or put us in a place where we can maximize fat burning and the release of stubborn fats. That's what it comes down to. And the glue to all of this is that everything must be customized to how your body works, how your body responds to the foods that you eat, and what foods you have access to. Because if I threw out a program and said, hey, this program is for people that can afford Whole Foods, then it's not going to work for someone who doesn't have that kind of budget. If you need a program that's going to meet you where you are. So I'm inviting you to reach out to me and to share with me your thoughts, okay? Because I want to hear. I want to hear what you believe the problem is. And again, I personally believe the solution is in asking the right question, because it's in asking the right questions, right, that will lead you to a place where you get the right answers. And if you ask a question that you think is the right one, and let's say it's just another thing about how's it going to work for me, then you're caught up in the how. And it's going to work for now, and then it's probably going to backfire and you gain the weight back. I mean, there's got to be a reason why 95% of people who lose weight gain it back. There's got, you know, that's within 3 years. When you go a little further, all the data suggests that over a five-year period, 99% of the people who lose weight gain the weight back. See, we can end this madness. We can stop this insanity. We can literally stop the diet mentality. And everyone can learn to live a diet-free life, no matter where you live, no matter what your age, no matter what you look like, no matter what your cultural desires are when it comes to food. Again, we know the deal, and that is you're not gaining weight because you're eating too much protein. And you're not gaining weight because you're eating too much fat. It's carbs. And if you would be so kind to do this one experiment for me, and I'll end for today, and that is the next time you go grocery shopping, this is what I want you to do. The next time you go grocery shopping, I want you to go through the aisles. I want you to walk around the aisles. I want you just to get out there and just look at areas that you don't even look at that often. And I want you to pick up the bread, and I want you to pick up the canned beans, and I want you to pick up the chips, and I want you to pick up everything that's around. Just pick up different things, condiments, you name it. And I want you to read the nutritional facts. And when you read the nutritional facts, this is what you're going to learn. You're going to quickly discover that if you look at what foods are highest in, you're going to see that most of the foods that you will pick up at a grocery store are highest in carbohydrates compared to protein. Now, occasionally you'll get one that's highest in fat, but the carbs are going to be up there. And the reason that the majority of the time it's going to be carbs, highest in carbs, is because if you remember, toward the end of the 70s, turn of, going into the 80s, the government, because of their big, push on, low-fat, non-fat foods, all these companies started creating, products that basically had the same calorie range, but they were lower in fat, and when they made the adjustment with bringing the fat down, they bumped up the amount of carbs. Protein remained constant, which it always does, but when you bring down the fat, you increase the carbs. And oftentimes they would add sodium and other things to help with the shelf life. So when you go to the market, you're going to be blown away at how many things are out there that are highest in carbs. When you pick up the milk, you're going to say, well, I was taught in school that milk is highest in, it's a protein. Well, the government may categorize it as a protein, but when you look at it back, you're going to see that milk is highest in total carbs compared to protein. That's what you're going to discover. See, carbs, because of their high, how high they are and how rich they are, and we're just eating and eating and eating, carbs is the one that has that relationship with stimulating the release of insulin. So going back to what we started off with, and because I'm combining my foods incorrectly, I'm setting my body up to more likely experience fat storage instead of fat burn and fat release. But once you have our list of fast carbs and slow carbs and proteins and condiments and how to add flavor and savor to your meals, and you then know what your personal carb threshold is based on where you are at this moment in your life, it is so much easier for you to begin dropping pounds with total confidence that you're not going to fail, that you're not going to fall short, that you're going to be successful. If Sandy, who I mentioned earlier, and if you're listening, Sandy, this is directly to you, if Sandy does what I believe she's going to continue to do, if she stands her ground and sees this through, when she gets to her carb threshold, she is going to be at a whole nother place. One, she's lighter, she's feeling better, her knowledge and awareness about food is enhanced big time. And while everyone else and other people are sitting back waiting and watching, she's going to be living more of her life that she wants and they're going to be sitting back going, okay, now I need to do something. You could be doing exactly what Sandy is doing. If you're not, let's get your mind together. You know, let's get your mind right. Then you will be successful. I mean, I'm human, man. Trust me. And one of the things that happened to me in the last couple weeks is that I finally gave up the fight of trying to get in my exercise, which I enjoy and like, in the, you know, late mornings, early afternoons, after work. I can't do it. I can't get it in. My main challenge is that I have a strong intention to spend time with my kids. I love being with my kids when they eat breakfast. I love being at home when it's time for dinner. I don't want to be working out at 7, 8 o'clock at night. And I get that. Some of us just, that's just our reality. So as I was fighting that, my workouts and exercise, like, it just wasn't happening. And so mentally I'm beating myself up constantly because I'm not doing what I know to be true. And I know that the further the gap between what you know and what you do, the worse you feel about yourself on the inside. So the conclusion is this. Here's my acceptance. My acceptance is I wake up at 5 a.m. Everyone is asleep. I would love to be sleeping. But here's the reality. I also love to have a tighter body. I love how my energy levels are better when I get in the workouts. I love that more than I love the extra sleep. Now, I love both, but, you know, these competing intentions have me in a place where it's like, you know, I am going to go ahead and just get up early. So now I'm able to keep the time I have with my kids. I feel better. And the only thing I lost was that extra hour or two of sleep. And trust me, I love that extra hour or two of sleep. But the reality is I can't have both. Okay? I just can't. And I'm using the word can't consciously. So I choose to get the benefit of the exercise and maintain the benefit of being with my kids. I don't like it. I definitely am not a big fan of it. But it's a choice. And that's what kind of kills the word can't, is when you maintain the reality that we have a choice of focus at all moments of our life. And I choose to focus on that part. And where your focus goes, your energy flows. That's it. So next week, you guys, hey, share this show. The replay is always available. And you know, help me continue to spread the word out there about people being able to live a diet-free life. It's time to end the madness. You know, stop the lies. And let's get people educated. Let's get them excited. Let's get them engaged. And let's get them on the express track to reducing the body fat. There you have it. I'm Robert Ferguson. This is Diet Free Life. Until next time, stay with the good news over the Diet Blues.